Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
When Carter first moved into the old apartment building, he thought he'd stumbled upon a charming piece of history. The neighbors were friendly, the rent was manageable, and the creaks and groans of the place seemed to whisper stories of its storied past. But soon those whispers turned into something else, something darker. Imagine living in a home where you're never truly alone. A fleeting shadow in the corner of your eye, a voice that calls your name when no one else is there, or the feeling of being watched when the room is empty. For Carter, what began as subtle disturbances quickly became a relentless nightmare, one that brought him face to face with entities older and more vengeful than he could have imagined. Are these spirits simply lost souls seeking peace, or is there something far more sinister at work? And how do you face an enemy you can't see but know is there, always watching, always waiting? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I hope this letter finds you in good spirits, no pun intended. I never thought I'd be the type to write about this sort of thing, but I don't know where else to turn. You seem like someone who listens without judgment, and right now that's exactly what I need. I moved into this apartment about a year ago. It's in an older building, full of charm and character. You know the type. Creaky floorboards, vintage windows, and all those quirks that make you feel like you're living in a piece of history. I even joked with the landlord about it being haunted when I signed the lease. If only I'd known how close to the truth I was. At first it was small things, the kind of stuff you shrug off, doors that didn't stay closed, lights that flickered, and the occasional sound of footsteps when no one else was home. I told myself it was just the quirks of an old building. But then one day I felt it. I was standing in the kitchen unpacking groceries when it hit me. A sudden overwhelming sense that I wasn't alone. Not the vague feeling you get when you think someone's behind you, but a deep, bone-chilling awareness that someone or something was in the room with me. I froze, waiting for something to happen, but nothing did. Still, from that moment on, I knew something was there. That's when Amanda came into my life. Amanda didn't announce herself in the usual way. I didn't hear a voice or see an apparition. Instead, it was as though her name planted itself in my mind, fully formed. I couldn't explain it then, and I can't explain it now. I just knew her name was Amanda. I also knew she was young, maybe 17, and she wore this old-fashioned, pilgrim-style dress, complete with a bonnet. She didn't scare me at first. She was more persistent than anything. Amanda wasn't quiet about her presence. I'd feel her watching me, sense her moving through the apartment. Sometimes I'd find objects in places I didn't leave them. Keys on the table instead of the counter. Books pulled off the shelf. Once I woke up to find a chair dragged halfway across the living room. It wasn't malicious, but it was unnerving. She wanted my attention, and she made sure she got it. After a few weeks, though, Amanda disappeared as suddenly as she'd arrived. For the first time in what felt like forever, I had peace. I started to think maybe it was over, and that whatever had been haunting me had moved on. But that peace didn't last. That's when Emily showed up. Emily was different. Where Amanda had been mischievous, almost childlike, Emily felt heavy. Her presence was suffocating, like a storm cloud that never lifted. I'd feel her in the room before I saw or heard anything. A weight pressing down on my chest, making it hard to breathe. I didn't see her outright, but I knew she looked similar to Amanda. Same style of clothing, same eerie stillness. The difference was in her energy. Amanda felt like someone playing harmless pranks. Emily felt like someone who wanted me gone. One night during a thunderstorm, I heard something that still makes my skin crawl. I was sitting on the couch, trying to distract myself with TV, when I heard a low, guttural growl. At first, I thought it was one of the pipes rattling, but then it came again, louder this time, and it sounded angry. I turned off the TV and just sat there, frozen, listening. The growl didn't stop. It was coming from the corner of the room where the shadows seemed darker than they should have been. I didn't sleep that night. The next morning, I decided enough was enough. I called my sister, who's more familiar with this sort of thing, and we tried a cleansing. We burned sage, said prayers, did everything we could think of. For a moment, it seemed to work. The apartment felt lighter, less oppressive. But then Emily came back, and she wasn't alone. The first time I saw the black silhouette, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. It was late, and I was half asleep when I noticed a figure standing in the hallway. It wasn't like anything I'd ever seen before, a solid shadow, darker than the surrounding darkness, with no face, no features, just a vague human shape. I blinked, thinking it would vanish, but it didn't. It just stood there, watching me. I wish I could say that was the end of it, but it was only the beginning. After that first sighting of the black silhouette, everything escalated. I couldn't ignore it anymore. Something wasn't just in the apartment. It was a part of it, embedded in its very bones. And as much as I tried to rationalize what I was experiencing, there was no denying the growing intensity of its presence. What unnerved me most was how the entities seemed to evolve. Amanda, Emily, and then Rebecca, each distinct at first, each with their own energy. But then something shifted. It was like they weren't separate anymore. They became one. I don't know how to explain it, but it felt like they fused, a singular force capable of switching between the personalities of the three girls. This transformation came with physical manifestations. I started waking up to find scratches on the walls that hadn't been there the night before, deep, jagged marks that no tool I owned could have made. Lights would turn on and off, and my phone would die inexplicably, even when fully charged. The activity wasn't confined to my apartment either. My upstairs neighbors began complaining about footsteps in the middle of the night, even though no one was up there. One night I woke to a sound I can only describe as sobbing. It echoed through the apartment, soft at first, then louder, more desperate. I followed the noise to the living room, and there it was again, the black silhouette. But this time, it wasn't alone. Behind it, or maybe within it, I could see faint impressions of faces flickering in and out of the shadows. Amanda, Emily, Rebecca, they were there, and they were crying. I tried to speak to them, to ask what they wanted, but as soon as I opened my mouth, the crying stopped. The figure moved, gliding toward me, without a sound. It didn't feel like it was walking. It felt like it was being pulled, like a puppet on invisible strings. I backed away until I hit the wall, and then it stopped, just inches from my face. That was the first time I truly felt afraid for my life. The next day, I did some research. I had to know more about what I was dealing with. I went to the library, dug into old records, and found something that sent chills down my spine. The land my apartment building sits on was once part of a Puritan settlement, and it had a dark history. Three teenage girls, Amanda, Emily, and Rebecca, were accused of witchcraft during a particularly harsh winter. They turned on each other in a desperate bid to survive, each blaming the others to save themselves. In the end, all three were executed. It made sense in a way that was deeply unsettling. These girls had been bound together in life by fear and betrayal, and now it seemed they were bound together in death. But why me? Why this apartment? I still don't know, and what I do know is that the activity hasn't stopped. If anything, it's gotten worse. The black silhouette appears more often, lingering in corners, standing at the foot of my bed, always just out of reach, but close enough to make its presence known. It's not just watching anymore, it's waiting. For what, I don't want to find out. I've thought about moving, but I'm terrified that leaving might provoke it further. What if it follows me? Or worse, what if it stays here and turns its attention to someone else, someone less aware of what they're dealing with? Last night was the worst. I woke up to find the word stay scratched into the wall above my bed. It wasn't just carved, it was deep, almost as if whatever did it wanted to make sure I couldn't paint over it or ignore it. I don't know what's keeping me here. But I feel like if I leave, I'll be breaking some unspoken rule, and the consequences could be catastrophic. So, Tony, I'm asking for your help. What do you think I should do? Is this just some angry spirit, or is it something much worse? Have you ever heard of anything like this before? Because if I'm being honest, I don't know how much longer I can take it. Sincerely, Carter. Carter's story is one of those that sticks with you. An unsettling account of a haunted apartment, three tragic spirits, and a shadowy presence that defies explanation. It's not just the history that chills me, but the personal connection Carter seems to have with these entities. Amanda, Emily, and Rebecca, they aren't just names. They're personalities, each leaving their distinct mark on his life. Now let's try to unpack this. From a psychological standpoint, we could argue that Carter's experiences might stem from the stresses of living in an isolated, eerie environment. Sleep paralysis, heightened sensitivity to environmental sounds, and even the power of suggestion could explain some of the phenomena. After all, when you believe something is haunted, your brain can start to fill in the blanks. But then, there's the paranormal angle, and honestly, it's hard to ignore. The specifics of Carter's story, the way the three entities seem to merge, the physical manifestations like the black silhouette and the historical context of the Puritan witch trials, paint a picture of something far beyond imagination. Could these spirits be trapped in a cycle of fear and betrayal, unable to move on? And if so, why have they chosen Carter, or does the building itself act as a beacon for their energy? What truly unnerves me is the escalation. It's one thing to experience fleeting shadows or strange sounds, but it's another entirely to see a message like "stay" carved into your wall. That's not just communication, it's a demand. And the implication that leaving might provoke a retaliation? That's the stuff of nightmares. Carter's story leaves us with more questions than answers. Are these spirits seeking justice, absolution, or something more sinister? And what is the role of the black silhouette, the silent observer that seems to embody their combined presence? Whatever the case, one thing is clear. This isn't over. Carter may be living with a piece of history, but it's a history that refuses to stay buried. If there's one piece of advice I'd give him, it's this: proceed with caution and never underestimate the power of the unseen. Until next time, stay curious, stay vigilant, and remember, sometimes the scariest thing isn't what's out there in the dark. It's what's already inside.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.